We're up to Perek Mem, Pasek Yud. Okay, Perek Mem, Pasek Yud, Hinei, Hashem Elokim B'chazok Yavoh, referring to the time of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come with might. He will make his presence known with great power. Uzro'o Moshololo. That is a difficult expression. His arm will rule over him. What does that mean exactly?
Maybe it means for him.
Moshe will rule for him. Okay, it's hard to translate. According to the Mitzudot, it's something very, very simple, very, 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 very interesting. Ratzalema lo yihye tzarech le'ezras zulasei. Moshe lo means he doesn't need anyone's help. When Hashem will come and rule the world, he will do it alone. Not like today, where human beings, they need help, they need an alliance. If one country, one nation wants to do something significant in this world, you always need, you need the permission, or you need an alliance, you need to go to the United Nations and get a group of other nations that will assist. Hashem does not need anyone's help. Uzra'o, his might, his arm, will rule lo for himself. Meaning, in the broader context of these words, Hashem will act alone. No one will tell Hashem what to do. Hine secharo ito, his reward is with him. Ufu'ulaso lefanov, and his work. Two words which in this context simply mean the same thing. Hashem at this point will come and will pay reward to the tzaddikim who have been faithful to Hashem throughout our long history. Rashi says, "Hinei sucharo ito mezumen ito la tzaddikim." The reward is with him for the tzaddikim. Upu laso schar pu lasha lo litin lahem. So basically, according to Rashi, Rashi is translating these two words the same thing. Pu laso, Rashi translates to mean the reward for their work. They have worked to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem will repay them at this point in time for their hard labor. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kiroye Edro Yireh. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear like a shepherd who pastures his flock. Bizro'o Yikabetz Telem, with his arm he gathers in the flock, the sheep, Uvicheko, and in his chest Yisa, he carries them. Alos Yinahalein means the young innocent and delicate sheep, Yinhalem, the shepherd, delicately guides. Rashi says, Mi nikta bonich midbar, hatsoin hamanikos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that sown which are nursing, will be delicately guided by the shepherd. If you look in the Mitzudos, David, let's just see the whole one to the start of Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kimosh Aroy Hamira Edre Binachas Umikabit Atloim Bizroyo Lom Binakal Ubinoisim. A shepherd does not hit with a staff. Vindosa Bechekai Hakatano Shebohem Minahal Binachas Ken Yolichem Hamoka Binachas Beshuva Mehagoyla. Just like a shepherd, when it comes to the young, delicate, nursing sheep, the shepherd picks them up in his hands and carries them close to himself, and does not hit with the stick the young, delicate sheep. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will very delicately pick up and collect the Bnei Yisrael me'arva kanfas aretz and bring them to Eretz Yisrael, return them from the galus. Now, that concludes this parsha Samach. What is very interesting is the contradiction between Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud, it's very clear, Hashem will come, b'chozok, with power, with might, with strength. Hashem will appear like a gibor, and Hashem will rule with his iron fist, uzroyo, his might, moshlolo, he'll rule, which the Mesudas translated means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need anyone's help. I can do everything myself. But also in another approach, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come with power. It will be very clear the might and the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the next Pasuk Yud Aleph says Hashem is going to appear like a shepherd full of compassion, and will not hit the sheep, but instead will lift up each of one of the sheep and carry it delicately to the place where it needs to go. So what is it? Is Hashem going to appear with might, or will Hashem appear as with a shepherd and be very gentle? So the answer is both. Elu ve'elu dirulakim chayim and echanami. That's going to be part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, to some will appear powerful and to some will appear delicate, but both are true. Both are true depending on the situation and how a person needs to relate to Hashem at that time. Pasuk Chaf. Now, this next couple of psukim, we begin a new theme. And the new theme is comparing man to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no comparison, and that's really what the Pasuk is trying to say, that a human being is nothing of nothing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful, there's nothing beyond him, and man, no matter how much he tries, cannot come even close to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we go. Mi modad b'sholo. Here in this pasuk, we're going to describe five different measuring tools. Five different objects are going to be measured, and we compare and we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he created the world using these different types of measuring instruments. Mi modad b'sholo mayim. Who is the one that measured in his fist? Water. The water is, at least today, what we know today, is two-thirds of the world is water, and one-third is land. Mi modad b'sholo means fist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can measures the water in it with his fist. Mi modad, let's look right away to the stuff. Mi modad, mi kamohu hayodea oimek hamayim. Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knows the depth of the water, ki'ilu as if modad be'eg roifo, as if he measured water with his fist. Say, we know that to measure with your fist is a tefach. The entire shas is filled with that measurement. There are five tefachim in an amma, or another calculation, there are six tefachim, five or six, depending on what we are measuring. But a tefach is the basic measuring instrument. The four fingers of a person, his fist, is the basic unit of measurement. So here we borrow that term to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu can measure what is impossible for man to do, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is simple. It is impossible for man to measure the amount of water that exists in this world, to calculate the depth of the water in the oceans and the seas. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, this is nothing for Hashem. Who can measure with his fist water? The Shamayim, the heavens, Bazeres. A Zeres is the distance between the pinky and the thumb. If you spread out the finger of the thumb as far as it goes, that's called a Zeres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can measure the distance from one end of the heaven to the other end. The Shamayim Bazeres Tikin. Tikin here means he has established, but also can mean, it means, let's learn similar means, Hashem has established the heavens by measuring the length. The Chol Bashalish Afar Horas. So we'll learn first like the Mitsudos, and then we'll learn Rashi a little later. Chol is an unusual word, it means to measure. A Shalish is a measuring instrument. It's a certain type of measuring instrument. Rashi in the Mitzudos Sion says, Shein Mido Gedoyle. It's a large measuring tool, large measurement. And Hashem is measuring the earth with the tool called the Sholish. Again, Chol means to measure. It is an unusual word. You don't have it too often. Chol means to measure, Basholish, with this measuring tool, or this container, which has marks, called the Shalish, Afar, or it's the earth of the earth, the dust of the earth. Next, Vishokal Bapeles Harim. Peles is a measuring rod, which has marks. So again, it's another tool which is used for measuring the mountains. Hashem measures the height of the mountains by taking a ruler, a yardstick, standing it up, and defining how high are these mountains. Ugivaos, and the hills, bimoznoyim, with scales. Another measuring tool. Let's look at the next pas. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Meet tikein. That's it. Let's stop over there for this one pas. Pasuk Yud Beis. So we have here five different measuring tools and five different things being measured. Number one is she'olo, the fist. Number two is the zeres, the span between the pinky and the thumb. Number three is the shalish. Number four is the peles. And number five is the mos noyim, are the scales on the two different plates on a scale.
What did we say the peles was?
The peles is a yardstick. And what are the five things being measured? Number one is the mayim. Number two is the shemayim. Number three is the dust of the earth. Number four is the mountains. Number five are the hills. So basically, the theme of the pasuk is: can man define nature? These five items encompass the totality of. They define the totality of teva, of olam hazeh, of this world. Can man define teva? Absolutely not. Impossible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is child play. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell you exactly how many drops of water there are in the ocean, can tell you the depth, can tell you how everything there is about the Shemayim, because Hashem has created these things and He has measured these things. Pasuk Gimel, Umi Sikein Es Ruach Hashem, who can. Now, there are different ways to translate this. Let's learn this one. Mi sikhen, according to the Mitzvah, means mi heichin ritzoyne shal mokam, rotz lemar, mi hite rotzon hamokam achar dato. Who can influence Hashem? Who can advise Hashem? Hashem is not interested in hearing from us. The only thing Hashem wants to hear from us is if we mispalel to Him, we pray to Him, but we have no business telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu how to run His world. We can be mispalel. If we do Hashem's will, Hashem will reward us. Chasham, if we don't do His will, Hashem will punish us. We follow the rules of the Torah. But it's not for us to advise, Hashem is not coming for us for advice. Mi sikein es ruach Hashem, who can establish, who can influence the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ish atzaso yodi enu, and which man can give advice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's nonsense. Man is nothing connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person has no business trying to advise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Gedalet. Es minoatz vayivinehu. Now, according to this minoatz, who, to whom has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now here we're going to translate this the other way around. To whom has HaKadosh Baruch Hu given wisdom? Let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Gedalet. Es minoatz. Es emi nisyayitz. Umi hiskiloi bina, to whom has HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken counsel with, and to whom has HaKadosh Baruch Hu given wisdom? Mi lamdo lelechas, and who has He taught to go in the ways of mishpat? Umi lamdo das, umi hoidio derech to vunos, v'chof ladavar hadavar, ho'amim harbe letiferes hamalitzam. This is just for the beauty of expression. We have many different repetition of different forms. But the point over here is minoatz, to whom did HaKadosh Baruch Hu given the Eitzah? Who was blessed that he should be deserving, that Hashem should inspire him to have the correct ideas, the correct solution for his problems? Vayivineu, and given him understanding. Vayilamdeu, and to whom did Hashem teach to go ba'orach mishpat, in the ways that are just? Vayilamdeu das, to whom did Hashem instill understanding? Bederech tivunos, tivuna means deep understanding. Yodienu, to whom did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make all of these things known? So this is, it's an expression which means that the one that is in charge is Hashem, and we are on the receiving end. Anything, any small amount of intellect that a human being has is nothing more than the gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not Chas V'Shalom the other way around. Again, the theme here is a human being should not dare compare himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. He has full understanding of the entire world. And no human being can tell Hashem what to do. And anything, any small amount of intellect, success, knowledge, counsel that a human being has, he should recognize that it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has given these ideas, has planted ideas and understanding in a person's mind. So So those are three major ideas that we have discussed in these three psukim. The first pasuk Yud Beis is Hashem's knowledge of the world. Number pasuk Yud Gimel is no human being can influence, can tell Hashem what to do. And number three pasuk Yud Dalet, any small understanding and success that man has in this world is nothing more than a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Pasuk Tezvav. Yeah?
This could be a progression. Hashem gives you advice, then you try to understand it, and once you understand it, you learn it.
Once you understand it, it settles. Yeah. It's a process. Yeah. Understanding is a process.
Words,
right. Okay.
A progression.
Progression, very nice. Nothing. First comes an Eitza, advice. You understand the advice, then but then with that advice, you follow it, you take a path. It's an approach. First, a seed is planted. Let me give you an idea. You then understand the idea. Then you carry it out. Implementation, that's the Oirach Mishpat, Vayilamadehu Das, and then after you actually implement it, then you first begin to understand the depth and the depth of the idea. Ein Adoyme, life experience to just conceptual ideas that you study in a college textbook. When you actually implement the ideas, then you fully comprehend it. Then v'derech tevunas yodin, then with time you can become a higher level. Even if it was a very nice idea, what you're saying is the progression of going from Eitza, then comes we don't say the word bina comes tevun. That's like that's the very end. But
no,
then
no.
Bina, okay. And then Vayilam Dehu, Limud. And then comes Das, Vayilam Dehu Das. And then there's the Derech Tuvunos Yodienu. All these different stages. Very nice.
Last question?
Yeah.
I don't understand. This is supposed to be the beginning of Nechama.
Yes.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his Navi here, is trying to give a guideline to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things to work. What's the Nechama here to Klal Yisrael through these psukim? It's like, you know, it's a moral lesson, it's true.
Right.
So, but what's the Nechama, the comfort? You tell me, no Hashem, blah, 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 and I understand all that, there's no question about it, but what's the Nechama?
The Nechama, I don't know the answer. You're asking a good question. Nechama, all we're learning, maybe it's a setup. I think it's.
What does it tell the Jews? Know your place. This is, you got to understand. I'll give you what you need. And
I don't know the answer.
He's trying to show the grandeur
of HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
right? And that you could be reliant on him to carry out uh-huh. and to fulfill his message.
Okay, that's an idea. So far, we have three ideas, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Hashem knows the world, Hashem, man has no influence over man, and the other way around, man's success comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Tezvav, Hein Goyim Kamar Mili, the Goyim, the nations of the world, are nothing more than a drop in a bucket. Mar is an unusual word. Mar normally means bitter. But in this context, Middle, it's all they were translated, all the Mepharshim, they translated, Kamar means just a teeny little drop. You have a bucket, you dip the bucket, not only a drop of water on the outside of the bucket. When you take a bucket, you dip the bucket into the well, you fill it up with water. Now you have a whole bucket, so if you tip the bucket, a small amount, a teeny little drop will fall from the bucket. But there are also drops of water on the outside of the bucket. Being that the bucket has been dipped in the well to draw water, the outside of the bucket gets wet. The teeny little drops of water on the outside of the bucket are less significant than the drops of water on the inside of the bucket, because the inside of the bucket, at least, they are secure. There, let's say you can take the inside, you have a gallon of water, and you can divide a gallon of water into 10,000 little teeny drops of water. Right? Let's make believe. You just take a little applicator and you try to divide up the water. As soon as the little drops of water are separated, they will very quickly evaporate. So as long as the teeny little drops of water are inside the bucket in one collective unit, they are safe and secure. But the little teeny drops of water on the outside of the bucket, there's nothing keeping them together. Those little teeny drops are going to evaporate and just disappear. So here the pasuk is saying that the world, mankind, the entire world, connected to the Shabbat, was nothing more than a drop of water, a teeny little drop in a bucket, and not even a drop on the inside of the bucket, which at least has hope to connect with the part of the major part of the pool of water, which will keep it, preserve it, but like a drop of water on the outside of the bucket. Hein goyim kemar midli, the nation of the world like a drop of water on the midli, on the outside of the bucket. Ukeshachak moznayim, a tinu particle of dust on a scale. If you have a scale, it has to be perfectly level. If there's a teeny drop of dust, it doesn't make a difference. Even though the scales have to be clean and fair, but of course, dust doesn't have any effect, has no weight. That's what mankind is saying in Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shachak mozdaim, dust on the scales, nechshavu, they are considered. Hein iyim, the islands. Iyim means the islands and the nations of the world. Iye hayam, they're nothing more, kedak yitol, they're nothing more than a teeny speck. In the Metzudas of it says, "Iyim iye hayam yashlich ka'avak dak u'omar v'im kain hu eich yamu l'mula limchos biyadu milahitzi es shal mitocham." All the nations, the islands of the world are as if you kedak yitol, like if you pick up a teeny speck of dust. And if all of these things are nothing, Kneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have no influence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do something, wants to bring the Gula and bring Klai Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, the world will have no power to stop Hashem. Pasuk Tezayin Ulevanon. Now we describe offering karbonos to Hashem. When one brings a karbon to Hashem, you need two things: fire and an animal. That's the basic ingredients to offer a sacrifice. You burn the sacrifice on a mizbeach. The animal, the sacrifice, the fire needs fuel. So if a person would want to bring a sacrifice, the truth is, ulevonon, ein dei boer. The entire forest, all of the trees in the forest of the entire world would not suffice to produce enough fuel to bring a carbon to Hashem, v'chayoso, and all of the animals of the entire world, ein dei ola, would not suffice to bring a proper burnt offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is so infinite, if you would want to bring a sacrifice, a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing in the world you can possibly do to properly honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever we do is such a token, it's just a teeny little dogma of Hakara, recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would really want to try and really give HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he deserves, there's nothing in this world that's possible to satisfy that requirement. Even if you would take all of the trees of the forest and all of the animals, it wouldn't even come close. Pasuk Yizayin, Kol Hagoyim Ke'ayi Negda, all the nations are like nothing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'efes V'so Nechshavulo, two words mean the same thing. Efes means zero, Tohu means nothingness. Nechshavulo, they are considered before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think Tohu is worse than Efes. Efes just means nothingness. It's nothing. Tohu means you are... It's a disturbing form of... It's a nothingness that exists. It's a yesh. It's a...
Anti-existent
type of... It's worse than nothing. Nothing.
Garnish for garnish.
It's an annoyance. It's an annoyance. There's a creation of nothingness, and then there's nothingness. So the nations are both. They're nothing, and garnish from garnish, they are an annoyance of nothingness. V'el mi tidam yun kel. What can you compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to? This is impossible. Ma demus ta'aruchu lo, and what likeness can be equated with him? To express which means the same thing, there's nothing in this world that can be used to compare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud-Tes. Now we describe Avodah Zarah. We describe the full, and after we've described these Pesukim, the grandeur, the infinite nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we now look at the foolishness of the nation of the world who throughout the history of the world have created idols. HaPesel, an image, Nosach Chorosh, has been poured by a craftsman. The ideal type of idols in the history of the world were metal. There are idols made from metal, and there are idols that are from wood and stone. So in ancient times, if you were wealthy, you would, and a person was a pagan and was wealthy, he would of course opt for the more expensive solution, a metal idol, which means you go to a craftsman. The craftsman would melt gold, silver, copper, iron, whatever material he was using, and would pour it into a mold to form an idol. So that's what the words, what these three words mean. Chorosh is a craftsman. A craftsman, and we're dealing here specifically with a craftsman that deals with metal. Nosach means to pour molten metal. Hapesel is the idol. The idol has been poured into a mold by the craftsman. The tsarev bazav. And then the tsarev is also, he's a smith. The tsarev is the smith who plates this, the metal base of the idol with gold. So it would appear that not everyone can afford to have a pure gold idol. The base of the idol is made from some heavy metal that would not move. It should be heavy and strong, and then it would be plated with gold. Yar kenu, yar kenu means to beat, to plate, to press and apply to the mold, to the form of the idol. Uris sukos kesef tzareh. Uris sukos means chains. Now this means either the chains were used to hold the idol in place. I'm not really clear what this means. Either the chains, the idol would stand, would be put in one location, and then there would be silver chains to fasten the idol to a base that the idol should not move in the wind or should not be knocked down by someone.
No one should steal it. Chained down.
The idol can't save itself. How do you expect the idol to save the person? Or it could mean it was a design, that it was customary. We're not bekeem in the minhage avodah zarah. We just do the minhage yisrael. We don't know the minhage avodah zarah. They would have chained. It would be typical for these idols to be designed with chains of silver. So it was plated. It was made from metal, heavy metal. It was plated with gold, and there were chains of silver either to fasten it to its base or to give it some decoration. Pasuk Chaf, but not everyone can afford gold and silver. So here it says Hamisukana Turuma. There are two interpretations. According to the Mitzvah, this means a person who is poor. Mesukan means a person who is poor. Truma, he separates. He separates money from his bank account to construct an idol. But he cannot separate enough money to purchase or to hire someone to fashion an idol made from metal. He has to go for the cheaper option, cheaper plan, wood. Eitz lo yirkav yivchar, he chooses wood, solid wood that will not rot. Again, these two words, hamasukun means an individual who is poor. Let's see the mitzudos. Mitzudos means hamasukun means ha'oni v'hadal. Kamo tov yelad miskein. Patskin close. Tov yelad miskein, better a young yelad than a youth. Tov yelad miskein means a yelad that is poor but is wise, that is a chacham, is better than an old, foolish, wealthy king. Pasuk in Koheles. So here, from the context, we clearly see that the word miskin means poor, and that's what the pasuk here means in pasuk chaf. Hamasukun, a person who is poor. Teruma, next word in the Mesudas, Hafrasha, he will separate, he will remove from his funds money to purchase Eitz lo yirkav yivchar, a good piece of wood to be the foundation for his idol, because he cannot afford to purchase metal. Chorosh chocham yivakesh lo, and this poor man will seek out a skillful craftsman, lahakin pesel lo yimo, to fashion an idol that will not falter, that will remain in its place, something which will be around for a long time. According to Rashi has a completely different interpretation. Hamiskein truma o imba lasos shel eitz hamiluma lehavchin. So miskon, according to Rashi, means a wise man, of a person, even if he's wealthy, but for whatever reason he wants to make the idol from wood. So if he's wise, he will choose a piece of wood that will not rot. If he's a fool, he'll choose a piece of wood that's wormy, that will decay and not last very long. This Harashi learns Musukon, Hamasukon, when we're talking about Rashi, oh in bot laso social eight samalumud lohafkan, the person that's malumud, he is accustomed, lohafkan bin eight samiskayim lishor eight sim, shlo yirgav, maher, yifchar, period. Hamasukon means hamalumud, kumoy hahaskin hiskanti, chuma hafrasha, diras eight sim, selection of the wood. So according to Rashi, it means hamasukon, the man who is wise, teruma will be careful to select eight lo yirkav, wood that will not rot, yifcho, he will choose to make his og. And according to the Mitzuda, Samsuka means a person who is poor, he cannot afford metal, he will give a donation of money to purchase something cheaper of wood that will not rot in order to fashion an idol. So that's what the pasuk describes, these two psukim. We have over the two psukim describing Avodah Zarah. We have the pesel that is made from metal. Metal plated with gold and silver. The second type of idol is made from wood. But the theme of these two psukim are that the entire mankind is foolish. Everyone is searching for idols, whether you're rich or poor. If you're rich, you have nicer idols. If you're poor, you have inexpensive idols. This is the foolishness of man, from the greatest, from the wealthiest to the poorest. Idols, idols, idols. How could a person be so foolish? Did we not just learn a few psukim before the grandeur and the ultimate power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Pasuk of Aleph, Halo Seidu, Halo Seshmo. What are you doing? Why are you so foolish to do this, to have idols? Do you not know? Halo Seshmo. Have you not heard? Halo Hugad. Has it not been told to you? Merosh. From the beginning, Lachem, from days of old. Halo Havino Sem. Have you not understood the Mostos Oretz has not been made known to you from the foundation of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world? So here we have a number of expressions. Das, Teidu. Number two is to listen, Shmia. Number three is Hugat, something being told to you. That's the different. It's something you, Das, you understand on your own. You can listen. Hugat, it sounds like listening. Someone has to tell you. Someone tells you, you listen, but it's another idea. And Bina, Havinosem, don't you understand, intuitive, the foundation of the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk HaBeis, HaYoshev Al Chug Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the sphere of the earth. The Yoshvecha Kach HaGavim, mankind is nothing more than locusts, a chog of grasshoppers. Hanoite kadoik shemaim kadosh baruch hu, spreads out like a film the heaven shemaim. Vayim tochem koil loshaves, and he spreads out a tent loshaves. The earth has been spread out like a tent loshaves for dwelling. So kadosh baruch hu is the one that has created the world. Many mepharshim, the Tosfos himself, about the Zohar that says the word chug. The word chug is a word which means a circle. And there are many mepharshim that say that from this pasuk it was known that the world was round in ancient times. This is a key that I don't know the exact details, you know, when exactly the modern world came to the realization that the world is not flat but is round. But there are indications in Tosfos, especially with the Zohar, based on this pasuk, that the world, it was known, it was pashut, that the world was round to the Chachamim even from days of Yom, because the word chug, chuga, is related to ugal. Look at the Rashi. Rashi, chuga, loshon mechuga, ugal, balas. Ugal means a circle. And here,
the word is compass.
Compass.
No?
Compass,
balas. Compass, balas. So the compass is a circle. Compass is a circle. And Hayoshev al chuga ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is stationed above the sphere of the earth. So it's a pasuk from Yeshaya. This is going back, I mean, how many years before the Common Era is this? It's going back over here, 2000, I mean, all the exact numbers, but Yeshaya is saying this pasuk 120, at least 125 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Churban Bayis Rishon took place in the year 70. Right, we're holding now 2012, and the Churban took place in the year 70. So work backwards, the 420 years for the Bayis Sheni, plus 70 years of Galus, plus another 410 years, and then another 125 years. And Yeshaya is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al Chug Ha'aretz. Hashem sits upon the sphere of the earth. And Chug is a word which has a connotation of a circle. So that seems to indicate it was clear, from the Pasuk, we're not dealing here with Kabbalah, that it was Pasha, the world was round. In modern, you take out a history book, and they first came to that realization not so long ago. I mean, but this is an interesting Pasuk, and there's a Tosafot that discussed this in more detail. Hashem spreads out Kadosh Shaman. It's another very interesting word, the film, the heaven, the atmosphere, the ozone layer, all of these different levels of the atmosphere is a film. It's nothing more than some type of film which has been stretched. And then we have another expression that this whole world is more than a tent. A tent is cloth which blows in the wind. The world is not considered a building. A building is strong, the structure. A tent is very delicate. There's a strong wind. The tent can blow away. There are pegs, there are ropes. It's cloth. Tent is a very delicate structure. And this pasuk says that this world is v'yimtochem kol l'shavus, the world has been stretched out. V'yimtochem means meshicha, to pull. Uprisha, spreading like a tent. That's a very interesting idea. Let's finish up until the end of the parasha, until Samach. Hashem makes Rizm means leaders. Hashem's power is all-encompassing. Hashem can take a leader, make a leader into a nothing. In one moment, if Hashem does not approve of a world leader, Hashem will influence the people to get rid of him, to dismiss him. La'ayin to nothing. Shavtei Aretz, the rulers of the earth, Kato, Asa, they're nothing. Hashem has made them into nothing, period. Ach, Baal, Nitahu, they, it's as if, now we're going to use two expressions of planting. As far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, the leaders of the world are nothing. It's as if they were never even planted in the ground. People, leaders of the world, consider their accomplishment to be so great. It's as if they were seeds in the earth, and the seeds blossomed and produced magnificent trees, produced beautiful fruit. As far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, relative to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if the leaders have never been planted. Two different expressions. Af, it's as if, Baal Nitahu, they were never planted. Af Baal Zorahu, two words which seemingly mean the same thing. Af, even, Baal Shoresh Ba'aretz Gizam, their root, the root of their stump. Gizam means their stump. The root of their stump never took root. The Gam Noshaf Bohem, and even the little that does exist when Hashem blows, to blow his wind against them, Vayivashu, they dry up, Usa'ara, and the storm of Hashem, Kakash Tisoim, can blow them away. So here we're describing the leaders, previous Pasuk Chav Gimel, we're describing nature, we're describing the Chug Ha'aretz, and the inhabitants, the ordinary people, they're nothing more than a chagovim, like grasshoppers. And then we describe that the heavens and the heavens is just nothing more than a film. Now we describe people who think they're important in this world, the world leaders, as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, they're nothing. It's as if they've never been planted, they've never taken root, and when Hashem wants, He blows on them, and they wither, and a storm will blow away the stalk, the kash, the insignificant portion of this vegetation. He will stop here.